A space tracking website maintained by the Defense Department is getting a makeover. Spacetrack.org is a hub for organizations that conduct space operations to see where that space debris might or might not be floating around, endangering satellites. Major General David Thompson is Director of Plans and Policy for Strategic Command. He explains how many objects are currently on STRATCOM's radar.
Today, U.S. Strategic Command, through one of our components at Vandenberg Air Force Base, tracks about 17,000 objects continuously. About 1,100 of those objects are active satellites and spacecraft that are owned by the U.S., by other nations, and by commercial companies. And the remaining, about 16,000 objects, are debris, old objects, bits of spacecraft, and rockets that were used to deliver them that have been on orbit for anywhere from days to decades.
So these objects that are not active satellites, do they endanger the Earth or do they endanger the other satellites more?
They are more a danger to other satellites than they are the Earth. If an object is big enough and reenters and survives the intense heat of environment in reentry, it might pose a danger to people on Earth, but primarily they present a danger to each other. These objects, whether they're large or small, are traveling upwards of 17,000 miles an hour, and so whether it's a large object or a small object, if these things collide, obviously they pose a danger to each other, and the more collisions we have, the more potential to create additional debris can have a cascading effect that can cause problems into the future.
But isn't everything going 17,000 miles an hour?
It sure is. It sure is. But when you imagine what it looks like, these objects are traveling very quickly. Their orbits crisscross in many cases. And so when a small object collides with a large object, when it's going that fast, it poses a danger to itself and other things. You know, as many people have seen the movie Gravity, that may be a little bit of a exaggeration in terms of the likelihood of those events occurring, but it was a pretty good depiction of what can happen when those objects traveling at those speeds come in contact with each other.
And so how do you track them? Is there a screen that shows where they all are at a given time, or what's the technique here?
Yes, we do. First of all, it's what I'll say is three parts to this problem that we have. First of all, we have a series of sensors around the world. Some of them are ground-based radars. We have optical telescopes, and we have some spacecraft in orbit whose job is to continuously track all of these objects. The information from these sensors is passed into a set of tools, a software set of analytical and predictive tools that our operators and analysts use to determine whether or not these objects in orbit are going to collide or have the potential to collide and then create a problem for each other.
And what can you do about it if you discover through the algorithms that object A is going to hit object 16,672?
Yeah, well, that depends. If, in fact, it's one of those objects is a active spacecraft and it has the ability to maneuver and move in orbit, then the operator of the spacecraft or the spacecraft can take action to move and change its orbit so the collision won't occur. If those objects don't have the ability to maneuver, you just have to be aware that a possible collision is going to happen, and you have to be prepared to deal with the aftermath.
And how often does it actually happen?
Oh, we track, and on the order of typically anywhere from 3 to 5 potential conjunctions, as we call them, on any given day. Probably our most important customer is actually NASA with the International Space Station. We spend a lot of time and energy with them tracking objects. And on occasion, usually once or twice a year, NASA will maneuver the International Space Station to get out of the way of debris.
But the greatest likelihood is of two inert objects or dead pieces hitting each other.
That is correct. And that is probably our greatest concern as we proceed into the future with so many objects up there that can't maneuver. If collisions between those objects occur, it can make the space environment even more difficult to operate in.
We're speaking with Major General David Thompson. He's Director of Plans and Policies for Strategic Command. And is it safe to say the problem is getting worse with each passing decade and more launches and more satellites going out of service?
I would tell you that the problem does have the potential to get worse. What we are trying to do as a nation and also as a global space community is work hard to limit the rate at which the problem is getting worse. We're trying to take steps right now as a global community to take more proactive steps to stop doing those activities we have done in the past that tend to generate more debris. And so really, while we try to figure out if there are longer-term solutions to this problem, step one that we are all dealing with today is, what can we do to stop making the problem worse?
So one of those solutions could be maybe designing satellites that can be brought back and burned up when they're done?
Correct. You know, you do things like when you actually launch them on rockets and deploy them, you limit the number of pieces that you create when you deploy them. The second piece, as you stated, is once they're done, perhaps we can have some of those satellites re-enter the atmosphere. The third piece is if those satellites are in orbits that make it difficult for them to come back to Earth, perhaps you move them at the end of their life to an orbit that is what we call a disposal orbit, an orbit out of the way where they will pose much less of a threat to the rest of the objects in space.
And can anything be done for the lots of pieces and bits that are in an orbit where you don't want them? Can anything be done over time to clean up space?
Well, there's a lot of study and analysis about that today. First of all, for those bits and pieces that are close to the Earth, the atmosphere over time will naturally, through the process of drag, bring them back to Earth. But for objects that are in higher orbits, that process could take decades and centuries. So there are some folks doing some studies trying to determine whether or not there are ways to do that. As we discussed earlier, when objects are going extremely fast, that poses a problem. But there are people studying that and developing ideas and potential solutions for the future.
And this is probably really an elementary question, but is everything orbiting in the same direction?
No, they are not. And that is part of what the problem is because there are many different orbits in play here, many different orientations, it's the relative speed with which these things collide that can create the problem.
So you might have a 34,000 mile an hour closing speed.
Correct. Absolutely.
That's worse than Rockville Pike.
That it sure is.
And so what would be the worst possible consequence for people on Earth should the wrong two things collide up in space?
Well, many people realize, some people don't, how vital space is to the nation, to the global community, and in fact, in my case, to the armed forces. You know, GPS alone, our global positioning satellites that the Air Force operates on behalf of the Department of Defense and the nation, in fact, the world, provides for the individual location services. It provides timing that is critical to the operation of financial and cellular phone networks. The communications provided from space for governments, for individuals, for organizations, all of those at some level are threatened should the space environment get to the point where it's difficult to operate in because of debris and the number of objects in space.
And does Strategic Command also track the activities of possibly people that are not good actors in space, because I imagine there are some countries like that.
There are, and there are some that are, at this point, they are engaged in activities that cause us concern. We do track that. In fact, the president has given the commander of U.S. Strategic Command the responsibility of providing what we call space situational awareness, a complete picture of what's going on in space for U.S. government agencies. He does that for the military. He does it for commercial space operators, and he also does that for international partners. So that means all objects, what they're doing, when they're doing it, and when it poses a potential threat to all, including those that may not always do what we would like them to do in space.
And does STRATCOM have people that are 24 hours a day? Do you have shifts all the time looking at what's going on?
We sure do. I had described earlier, we have the global network of sensors, and we have a set of operators and analysts that run those sensors and then do the analysis associated with them. That is a 24/7, 365 mission. You know, the biggest and most important piece of that is those highly skilled and trained operators and analysts that take all that information and make sure that we've done the homework that we need to determine those conjunctions and collisions, and then those people have real-time connection to space organizations around the world where they will pass that information to an organization and say, we are concerned about the following activity that is about to occur. You need to be aware of it, and if possible, take action to prevent it.
So being an Air Force general, can you also say this is a joint operation? Is the Army and the Navy also involved?
It is, in fact, a joint operation. The name of the command that does this for Strategic Command is called the Joint Functional Component for Space. It has Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. One or two Marines do this for us. And, in fact, we have civil servants that are part of the mission as well.